All right, so get ready, folks. We're diving deep into a case today, People versus Henry Macias Navarro, and it's a 1972 California case. It really makes you think about who's running the show when it comes to sentencing.
You know what's interesting about this case? It's like this. It's a showdown, right?
Yeah.
Between the judge and the prosecutor.
Yeah.
Makes you think about that balance of power.
Yeah.
You know, between those different branches of government.
Yeah. Like a legal drama. Okay, so help us out here. What got Henry Macias Navarro into court in the first place?
Well, Navarro was convicted, right, on two counts, both related to heroin, though, selling and furnishing and offering to sell. But there's a catch.
Mm.
He had a prior conviction, that is, for assault with a deadly weapon.
Okay, so a repeat offender. Sounds like the DA has an open and shut case.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But the judge in this case, he had a different idea. After the guilty verdict came down, the judge thought Navarro was eligible, you know, for a drug treatment program instead of prison. And this decision was based on California's Welfare and Institutions Code, specifically Section 3051, allows judges to send folks to treatment in, you know, certain unusual cases.
Gotcha. So there is a legal way to get him into rehab. But I bet this is where the DA steps in and, I don't know, changes things up.
You got it. The district attorney, he refused. To agree with the judge, that is, saying that because of Navarro's past conviction and just, you know, not seeming sincere about getting better, he wasn't a good fit for treatment.
Wow. So the DA was trying to overrule the judge, huh? Did the California Supreme Court let that happen?
No way. They said no. The Supreme Court said that needing the DA to agree was unconstitutional. Sentencing. That's the judge's job, they said. Not something a prosecutor can just veto.
Right. That makes sense. If prosecutors could overrule judges' sentencing, it just, I don't know. Seems like it would be a lot less fair.
For sure. Imagine, like, a prosecutor could just decide if someone got probation or not, just like that. The court, they knew this would mess up the balance of power, you know, between the branches. And it could mean, like, biased sentencing, too. It could be random, even.
Yeah, yeah. The court was trying to protect the judge's right to decide. Right. But what about Navarro's felony? Didn't that mean he couldn't go to the treatment program?
That's where it gets really interesting, especially if you like, you know, all the little details of legal stuff. There's another part of the Welfare and Institutions Code, Section 3052. And that one, that could mean someone with a prior felony can't go to treatment. But, well, the court took a closer look at Navarro's assault conviction, you see.
Okay, tell me more. Sounds like there's more to this than we thought.
Yeah, so his assault conviction, it started as a felony, right? But later, when he was sentenced, they changed it to a misdemeanor because he was so young. And Section 3052, it's very specific. It talks about felonies by statute or sentence, you see.
Wait, wait, wait. So because his conviction ended up as a misdemeanor, he didn't get disqualified. That's a really specific legal thing.
Yeah, and it shows you just how important it is to really understand the law, like word by word. It's not just about the words themselves, but what the lawmakers meant when they wrote them and making sure the law is applied correctly. It's not enough to just look at a conviction and say, felony, okay, that's it. You have to look closer, see how it was really handled.
That's a good point. You have to look past the surface. I bet this case is super useful for law students. What else should they know about what happened here?
Oh, yeah, it is. People versus Navarro, it's packed with legal ideas, you know?
Oh.
It's not just about what happened to Navarro himself, but like the bigger picture stuff, it's set in motion. The court, when they made their decision, they really made it clear how important a judge's own judgment is when it comes to sentencing.
That's what I was curious about. Why is that so important in a case like this?
Well, think about it. Every case, every person on trial, they're all different, right? If you just try to do the same thing for everyone, it wouldn't be fair. Could even end up being kind of crazy. Judges need to be able to look at each case and see what's unique about it. You know, like the person's background, what they did, and if they could turn things around.
Right. A judge should be able to adjust the sentence to fit the situation.
Mm.
But doesn't that also mean things could be different depending on the judge? Like, what if one judge is always super harsh on people who break drug laws and another one is really easy on them?
Yeah, that's a good point. And people who don't like the idea of judges having a lot of power, that's what they say, they worry that it could mean your sentence depends more on which judge you get than what you actually did. They say having stricter rules, even if they seem tough, could actually be fairer because everyone would be treated the same way.
So it's kind of like there are two sides to it. Too much freedom for the judge might mean different outcomes, but not enough freedom could mean the sentences are too rigid, too inflexible.
Exactly. It's tricky, you know, finding that balance. And this whole back and forth about how much power judges should have, it's still going on today. people who make laws and people who study law, they're always trying to figure out how to make the system fair and flexible at the same time.
Wow. It's really interesting how one case like this can make people rethink the whole justice system. You mentioned something before about how Navarro's case made people think about the purpose of punishment, too.
Oh, yeah. And this is where it gets deep. Navarro's case made people ask a really big question. What are we trying to do when we punish someone? Is it about getting back at them, like they did something wrong so they have to suffer? Or is it about helping them change their ways so they can be a part of society again?
It seems like those two things could be like opposites, right? If you punish someone really harshly, it might feel like they got what they deserved, but it might not help them become a better person.
Yeah. And when it comes to drug crimes, that's a really important question. Should we be locking people up, or should we try to help them get over their addiction? Navarro's case didn't answer that question for good, but it made everyone think about it.
So this case is more than just some old legal stuff, right? It makes you think about some really important things about justice and how the law works in society.
Totally. And we have to remember that the law doesn't exist all by itself. It's shaped by how people think, what politicians want, and how we understand human behavior. You know, all that changes over time.
It really shows how one case can be connected to so many bigger changes in society. You also mentioned that Navarro's case had some real impacts on the legal system itself, right? Did it actually change how sentencing works?
Well, it didn't get rid of any laws or create new ones directly, but it did set an important example for other cases. By saying the judge has the final say on sentencing and getting rid of that rule about needing the DA's approval, the court kind of tipped the scales a bit, you know, towards giving people a chance to get better. Judges had more freedom to think about other options besides prison, especially for drug crimes.
So it could be seen as a move towards a more, I don't know, understanding kind of justice, where each person is treated as an individual.
You could say that. And it's interesting, right? This case was in 1972. Back then, people were starting to have doubts about just being tough on crime all the time. They wanted to try other things like treatment programs and stuff.
It's wild how a single case can show these bigger shifts happening in society. Wait, didn't you also say something about the severability doctrine earlier? What's that all about?
Oh, yeah, that's another fascinating part of this whole thing. Remember how the California Supreme Court said that part of Section 3051, the part about needing the DA to agree, was unconstitutional?
Yeah, they said that part of the law was basically wrong.
Right. But here's the thing. They didn't throw out the entire law. They used this thing called the severability doctrine to just remove that one bad part. The rest of the law, they kept it.
So they could fix a specific problem with the Constitution without having to get rid of the whole law. Sounds pretty useful.
Oh, it is. It's like a superpower for courts, you know? No. The severability doctrine lets them be super precise with their decisions. Like they're saying, look, we're not tossing this whole law out just because this one little piece is messed up. We're just going to take out the bad part and let the rest of it stand.
Like performing surgery on the law. So we've covered a lot, huh? Judicial discretion, the goals of sentencing, severability. Sounds like People versus Navarro really shook things up, both legally and just in how people think about things.
It did. And, you know, even though it's an old case, it still makes you think about stuff that matters today, like mass incarceration, changing drug laws, and what we're really trying to do when we punish people. It's all connected.
So many big ideas. It's like People versus Navarro is more than just a case. It's like a starting point for thinking about justice, fairness, and the role of law in our lives.
That's a great way to put it. It shows that law isn't just a bunch of rules, you know? It's about who we are as a society and what we think is important.
So we've been really digging into People versus Navarro, and it seems like it changed a lot in the legal world. But I guess no legal decision happens all by itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were there any people who weren't so happy with this whole judicial discretion thing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Not everyone was on board with giving judges so much power. Some people thought that it could actually make things less fair and lead to, like, different judges giving out totally different sentences.
Right. We talked about that a little earlier. Can you tell me more about why some people saw that as a problem?
Sure. Imagine this. Two people do the same crime, right? They have similar backgrounds, similar situations, the whole nine yards, but they end up in front of different judges. One judge might be all about second chances and rehab, while the other one believes in being really tough on crime.
So they could get totally different sentences, even though they did basically the same thing. That doesn't seem very fair at all.
Exactly. The people who don't like judges having a lot of power, they're worried about a system where your punishment depends more on which judge you get than what you actually did.
It sounds like there's a good reason to have some clear rules about sentencing that limit what a judge can do, even if it means things are a little less flexible.
That's the big debate, isn't it? People who like stricter guidelines. They say it makes things more consistent and predictable. They think that's ultimately fairer and prevents judges from just doing whatever they want.
So it's like trying to balance two things that are both important. You want judges to be able to look at each case individually, but you also want to make sure that people who do the same crime get treated the same way.
It's a tough one for sure. And there's no easy answer. It's a debate that's still going on today. Lawyers and people who study law are always trying to figure out how to make sentencing fair for everyone.
It just shows you that the law isn't just some set of rules written in stone. It's always changing, right? It has to adapt as society changes. And as we learn more about how people behave, this case, People versus Navarro, it might have been decided back in 1972, but it's still making us think about some really big ideas about justice.
I totally agree. It's a case that everyone who's studying law or even just interested in how the justice system works should really know about.
And for everyone listening, as we wrap up our deep dive into People versus Henry Macias Navarro, think about this. Where do you stand on this whole debate about judges having power versus having stricter rules? What do you think the main goal of punishment should be? And how do you think we can make sure our legal system is fair, consistent, and also treats people with compassion? Those are questions we're all still grappling with today. Thanks for joining us.